absolutely.
Yeah. All right. You know, Wednesday night, if you weren't here, about Pastor Matthew was gone. Every once in a while, I get to preach on Wednesday night. And I just felt like we were going to lay hands on everybody Wednesday night. And we had church. Amen. If you missed it, shame on you. For shame, for shame, for shame. If, you should have been here. It was a good service. But I want to let her tell you what God did for her.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Jane, for those of you who haven't met me. And I'm a teacher, and I'm perfectly capable of making this last for 30 minutes, because that's what we do. But for the sake of time, I'll make it short and sweet. Late April, early May, I found a lump. That's every woman's absolute biggest fear. I already had a doctor's appointment for a regular checkup with my PCP on the 6th of May, and so I didn't tell a living soul, no one. Not Eric and Dawn, not my own child. Catherine, I'm sorry if you hear this. She still doesn't know unless she's listening today. I kept it to myself. Me and God talked about it several times. Then I went to my doctor and I told the nurse. The little nurse comes and takes your history. And she took her hand and she just went down across my chest like this and just like that found it. It was large enough and hard enough that it was that easy with just the swipe of her hand to find it. That was on the 6th of May. On the 20th of May, that's when we all came here and the two of you laid hands on me and prayed. And having no idea that I was dealing with this, that this was here. And on the 22nd of May, I went and had an ultrasound and a mammogram. And I think they scolded me for coming when I didn't need to be there because they found absolutely nothing. And praise God, I have no other way to explain it except that I had hands laid on me and I was prayed for. They didn't know what they were praying for me for. They didn't know what the topic was on my heart, but they knew that I needed intervention and I got it. And praise God. My story isn't over. Amen. And what I often say is God isn't finished with me yet.
Go ahead and tell them about your neck.
In October, now you are in trouble. Now you may not be able to preach today. Because that is something I testify. This I can testify over this anywhere I go. In October, I was on my way to work. I'm a part-time substitute teacher, and I had taken a long-term six-week project, and I was 2 days short of being done. And I was on my way to work, and some little girl ran the red light and hit me head-on. And, of course, my car's totaled. Right now I'm driving a car that belongs to the Richters because I wasn't cleared to drive until just a couple of weeks ago. I just got cleared to work. I haven't for six, this is 6 months ago. Well, among other things, because you're just battered and bruised like you've been through a war, I suffered a broken neck. My C2 vertebrae was broken in two places. Pastor has seen the x-rays. That was actually an MRI. It's the exact same vertebrae that Christopher Reeves had crushed. He spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And I'm standing here. I do walk occasionally with a cane. Darren has it right now. I walk if I do have to walk a long ways with a cane. Otherwise, you can't tell. I'm ready to go back to work when school starts. I'm driving again. I'm washing my own clothes. I'm folding my own laundry. The things that you take for granted that my daughter had to help me take a shower and wash my hair and get dressed, all the things that you take for granted I stayed with my daughter for 4 months because I couldn't be left alone. And here I stand. With a broken neck, fully healed, ready to go back to work when school starts, ready to help serve anywhere I can be of service, and I am a certified teacher. Let me say that again in case anybody needs me for anything. Because that's where I find my joy. And I'm here, and praise God, and I have no other way of explaining that moment in time except that God is not finished with me yet. My story isn't over. Amen. And that's the other part of that. That's two things in like 6 months. God is good all the time.
That's the best message setup I've ever had. Y'all stand up on your feet right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Say, my story isn't over. And you hear that, Ray? Your story is not over. My God, Jesus, it's going to get better. Amen. All the time. Amen. Well, let's pray together, and we're going to get into the Word today. We're going to do just part one today, but this is a good message. You need to hear it, and it'll help you. Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now. Heavenly Father, we just open our heart. We open our ears. We expect you to speak to us. In fact, say that with me right now. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart, I open my ears, and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me. Right where I am, my heart is open, my ears are open, and I am ready for what you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word today. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us, minister to us right where we are with open ears and an open heart. Lord, we receive what you have for us. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding today as we come before you. And we thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. All right, I'm going to switch microphones. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I on? There we go. All right, amen. I can turn this off. Love technology. You know, going to Estonia in June, I ordered a new little pedal that works on 220 power, since in Estonia it's 220. But all this week, I'm going to learn a brand new toy I've never had before. So that'll be fun. I'm used to this box because I've traveled with it for many, 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 many years. And it's a very faithful machine. But this new one's a small little pedal, about this big. And you can click it, and it rotates back and forth between computer buffers and does the whole drum kit. The writing of it was, it's the drummer you always knew you wanted, and that doesn't complain or tell you what to do. And I'm excited about it coming this week. You know, how many of you had things happen to you before? I mean, really? Come on. I'm just curious, if you're so bold, have you ever been fired before? And that's the best experience I think you can ever have in your life. You know why? Because you get a hold of yourself and you decide you're going to be better. No matter what they said, even if they're wrong, you've decided you're going to be better. Because your story isn't over yet. Right? How many of you ever had a car wreck? Man, I hit a stop sign in a Walmart parking lot. Y'all pray for me. Sweet Jesus. The lady came in, Melissa came up to the register, oh, your husband, oh, he hit a stop sign. And I remember what she said. Yeah, she thought it was a joke. But you know, when you hit something that's stationary in a parking lot, all I could do when it was in the part of the roof thing, whatever, the strut of the car where the door connects and all, I didn't see it until I turned and there it was. And, you know, in slow motion, you're going, no. And the hood and everything's crushing all the way up to the windshield. Just a real Maalox moment. Praise God. Went back in and bought some Pepto-Bismol after that. It was great. Now, but, you know, I remember I had a Pontiac Fiero that was black and it was my favorite car. I wanted that car so bad. I bought it, and my grandmother helped me pay it off once I had it paid down really good. She wanted to pay it off for me. And when I got to the office one day, I was I had to go run an errand for Mr. Driscoll and went all the way up back the other side of Cleveland, Tennessee. And coming back, it's pouring down rain. I mean, raining like it was when Wesley and Marie were driving their truck. And I couldn't see a thing. But there was a semi that got in the middle lane there on McCoy Street, or McCoy Street. And he had his flashers on. He wasn't doing anything, so what's my plan? I'm just going to keep going down the street. But what does he do as I'm just a few feet away from him? He suddenly turns in front of me. And I didn't know what, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't see to go around him because I didn't want to hit another car head on. So what would I do? I had my friend Jeff Stahl. Y'all remember the song I sing periodically, Under Your Wings I Hide? Well, Jeff wrote that song. And he was like, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. And he pulled down in the seat, put his feet on the dashboard. Never do that. He did that. I aimed for the center of the box because he's going up a hill and there's enough room. I thought, you know, like a James Bond movie, I'm going to go under and out the other side of the box. And I did. While we were underneath the semi, though, the back wheels caught the car because the hydroplaning caused us to ground out in underneath the box. He could have rolled over us, But thankfully, the back wheel on one side pushed us and spun us around, and we landed on the hill. You know what we were right next to? The Cleveland, Tennessee Main Fire Department. And the chief came out, and a bunch of firemen came out. The ambulance showed up, and you know, everything was fine. I still got scars on my arm from the glass that came through, because the only thing it did was pop the sunroof. It was a complete convertible, but we were there. Right when I went under the truck, all I did was pray. I was just saying, oh, Jesus, Jesus, and I laid my head down, just like in the movies, and went right underneath the truck. Man, when Phil came and picked me up, somebody from the office came and got me, and then when I went met him for lunch, he goes, what are you going to do next? I said, I'm going to go through a moving box car. That's the next thing I want to do. And I've never been afraid of speed, never been afraid of too much. I will admit now that I'm older, I do a little more cautious about things. Melissa's looking at me like, you are not. Wesley, when he called from the hospital, he said, hey, Daddy, you don't have to drive fast, just be careful. I beat series time, I did, and got there. But we drove back nice and safe and calm. You know, I've always learned this line, because if your story isn't good, your story's not over. I don't care what you've gone through. I mean, anybody ever had a bad breakup? Yeah. Anybody ever gone through a divorce? Yeah. Hey, if the story isn't good, the story isn't over. Amen. So let's talk about faith for a minute today. And let's say, if you got your Bible, go to Mark chapter 11. And I want to read to you verses 23 and 24. And Jesus here, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he personally told you and me how to deal with the mountains in our life. You know, that semi was a mountain to me. Wesley had his semi moment. Amen. On 840. That was a mountain for a moment. And they spun around and praised God for the guardrail that stopped the truck so they didn't roll off down the ravine. You know, this is a great thing. But you know, whatever your mountain is, whatever your circumstance might be a car wreck, might be maybe you had an unexpected bill come up. Anybody ever had that happen? Maybe it's something really bad that came up and you just don't know what you're going to do. You just don't know. Jesus told you what to do. He told us all how to deal with mountains and circumstances, the storms in our lives that try to cripple us or get us down. He told us in Mark 11, 23 and 24 here, he said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will what? Have whatever he says. Would you say those lines with me again? Have whatever he says. And then verse 24, it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will what? Have them. Amen. Have them. You read on down, it talks about when you're praying, you forgive. Amen. How many of you know you don't walk in unforgiveness? It's a bad thing to do. Don't do that. Well, amen. What am I talking about today? Well, let me tell you, we all deal with storms, and we all deal with circumstances arising in our lives. Anybody ever have lightning hit your house? We had lightning hit our house when we first moved into the house in Oakland. Lightning came through the upstairs window, through the stud in the wall, went through the brick. Came through as a black hole about like this that came through, went across the room and into the wall across the room. William is sitting there at his desk working on stuff, and that lightning bolt came through. Well, it went through the whole house. It fried the electric drums. It fried our TVs, the Whirlpool tub in our bathroom. Everything got fried. How many of you know circumstances happen? Are you going to lose your noodle over it? No, because that gets you into strife and gets you into anger. And you know what? You give up your peace. You give up your peace. But we all deal with this kind of stuff. Everybody does.
Nothing's perfect all the time. We don't live in a Walgreens society where everything's just perfect. No, we live in a world that's filled with folks that seem to be losing their ever-loving mind. Or that we live in a world filled with folks where they want to give you a piece of their mind. Isn't that right? You ever had those moments? Right? You got to sit there and just smile. Hey, yeah, well, praise God. Yeah. Amen. We all deal with that kind of stuff. Amen. But we as believers, we don't follow the world, we follow the Word. Amen. We as believers, we do not follow the world, but we follow the Word. Amen. Who do we follow? We follow God. We follow our King. Amen. And get this today. If you're writing something down, I don't remember if I put that in the notes or not. But when everybody else is losing their mind, you need to renew yours. When you hear something that upsets you, or you have a situation that might be bad, it's kind of like Jeff Foxworthy saying, you know, you might be a redneck if. But if you have the world come at you or something happens, you have a circumstance, instead of getting in panic mode, instead of getting all freaked out and flipped out, what are you going to do? You got to stop, take a deep breath. I need to renew my mind to the Word on that subject. Amen. Hallelujah. I need to renew my mind. Amen. See, we are, in fact, say it like this. Say, I am. Secure. And stable, because I follow Him and I follow His truth. I have the victory. Say that again. Say, I have the victory. Amen. I have the victory. You know, God made you stable. Are you hearing me? God, if you got born again, stability lives in you. The day you got born again, the Prince of came and lived, made His home in you. The presence of God is in you. Amen. You became stable and secure. But I tell you, a lot of times, if you're not stable and secure, check what you're renewing your mind to. Amen. Check what it is you're putting before your eyes. Check what it is you're putting in your ears. Pay attention to the things that's being spoken over you or to you, or the words that you speak out of your own mouth. Because, you know, you're either making the mountain bigger or you're going to make that mountain go. For your mountain to move, it's got to move your tongue first. Amen. There may be times when you want, you know, tell me if I'm in the right house this morning. There may be times when you want to desert the original plan God gave you. Anybody ever been there before? You felt like throwing in the towel. You felt like giving up because it just feels too hard to fulfill. You may want to pursue plan B. Or maybe you've already thought through and you've gotten all the way to plan E. Right? You've already gotten to plan E. Or you gotten to F or G. Maybe even some of you panic so much you've gotten to plan Z. Z will be good for me. But you can't live that way because God made you secure. He made you stable. You have what? The victory. You have the victory. Let me tell you, you will always encounter some form of opposition in your life. Isn't that good news? Makes you want to shout and run around for a hanky all day long, right? Run through Kroger. Woohoo! I'm telling you, every day of your life, you're going to have an opportunity to have a Malox moment. You're going to have an opportunity where you got to go, ugh! But you stop yourself because on the inside, you're like, no, I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to take a deep breath because the greater one's in me. I got it all together because the King of Kings is alive in me. Amen. I'm more than a conqueror. In fact, I'm not just a conqueror. The blood made me more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Now, we all have opportunities, folks. Even serving God, you're going to have opportunities where the devil's going to come talk smack to you. He's going to start, you know, in your head, well, I'm just no good at that. I can't do this. I can't do that. He's talking trash to you. You need to talk trash back to him. You're defeated, you moron. I got the goods. You don't anymore. Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from you, and he gave them to me because I'm part of the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? He gave me authority, devil. You understand that? Get under my feet where you belong. See, you got it. You got the victory. But a lot of times we'll say all sorts of stuff, and we're typing things on our typewriter, our typewriter of our lives, and we're talking about all of our problems and troubles, and we're magnifying the things that we don't appreciate, or magnifying the bad things and not magnifying the things we should appreciate is what I meant to say. Amen. You got to be thankful, just like Jane was sharing this morning. God's still good, isn't he? Amen. We all have opportunities and temptations to bail. Sometimes it's on a daily basis. But folks, it is vital that we learn to open our hearts to God and allow him to give us strength. Amen. We were joking at Monday night Bible study. Anybody ever watch Popeye the Sailor Man? That was my favorite cartoon as a little kid. I ate spinach as a kid because of watching Popeye the Sailor Man. I really did. Every once in a while, I order some spinach. I hadn't done that in a while. But, you know, sometimes it's good if it's made right. They cook it in pork fat and all that. It's got a nice flavor to it, you know. But, you know, I bet y'all can sing the song, too, can't you? I'm Popeye the... Oh, my kind of people. Amen. But, you know, I fight to the finish because I eats me. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. There you go. Thank you. It's waiting for it. Amen. But, you know, we were talking about that at Bible study on Monday nights. You know, the peace of God is like when you're at your worst. You know, Bluto's beating up Popeye. But, man, that can of spinach comes on the scene and everything changes. See, Jesus is alive and well on the inside of you. And all you got to do is just pop that can of his glory and his presence and his peace. And you eat that and you take all that in. You're renewing your mind. And I tell you what, you're greater than Popeye the Sailor Man, any cartoon you ever saw of him. You're even bigger than Mighty Mouse. Here I come to save the day. I mean, you're better than that. You're better than Superman. Amen. You're better than Superman. Why? Because the greater one's on the inside. Amen. Listen, write this down. How you and I respond in the face of adversity and in the face of circumstances, how you respond in the face of adversity and circumstances will always tell the story of your personal relationship with the Father. And say that again. How you respond in the face of adversity and circumstances will always tell the story of our relationship with our Father. Amen. I mean, curl your toes up. I'm sorry to step on them. If you snap all the time, you're not spending enough time with the Lord. Amen. Right? You got to wake up and not saddle your horse up and go running away. Whoa. It's time for me to get in the Word. It's time for me to renew my mind. Amen. See, with storms and circumstances, folks, sometimes we're dealing with people who don't think like you and I do. Sometimes you're dealing with circumstances, you know, that weren't any fault of your own. It's just something that happened, like a car wreck. It was pouring down rain that day when that Fiero went under that semi. There was nothing you could do but thank God for his protection and grace. And, you know, we went under, bounced under. I mean, the tractor trailer tire prints were on the back end of the car. I have the picture that shows the tread prints on the back of the car. And the sunroof, the glass was all inside the car. None of the windows were open. You know, they didn't even total the car. They fixed it. Think about that. That was the goodness of God. When the policeman came on the scene, he ticketed both of us, and he was going around asking the fireman, how many dead bodies do we got? And the fireman looked at him and said, there's no dead bodies. He goes, oh, they've got to be dead bodies. No, there's no dead bodies. And the fireman said, go tell him. He's asking. So I went and told him the story. He gave us both tickets, the truck driver and myself. Me not yielding way. There was no way to not yield, gave him a ticket for turning in front of oncoming, doing an illegal turn, not signaling. And when we went to traffic court, we both told our stories, and the judge slammed his gavel down and said, dismissed, nobody's at fault. You know, I could have freaked out about that. Got to go to court. To beat it all, when we moved back from Tulsa, Oklahoma, my good friend that was in the car with me, he wanted to sue the trucking company for his injuries. What does somebody do when they get sued for something like that? They turn around and sue the driver. They sued me for $2 million for damages to their truck. Some of y'all couldn't handle that. I couldn't handle it for about that long. It was a Maalox moment. It was a speed bump in the parking lot of life. And you know, I mean, it's like Joel Osteen in The Worst of Times. You know, God is so good. We love you so much. Listen, stuff happens in life, but you can't let your cheese slide off your cracker. I've found that I put extra super glue on my cheese and glue it to my cracker. It works better that way. Amen. But you know, I found out about that. I told Jeff, he had no idea they were suing me. He dropped it. The trucking company dropped it. Never heard from anybody ever again about it. But you know what? We all have opportunities where we could absolutely freak out and lose our noodle over stuff. You know, listen, people, say that with me. People are not obstacles. People are the purpose. Think about that for a minute. People are purpose in your life. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, they're not obstacles. What do you do? What do you do if you think, you know, they're being unfair? I got to go back and renew my mind to the Word. The Word is life and health to my body. It tells me everything I need to know to succeed. The book of Proverbs will tell you how to be wealthy. The book of Proverbs will tell you how to hear the voice of God. The book of Proverbs will tell you how to not get taken in by conspiracies and get rich quick schemes. If you read it, you'll find out stuff that you never knew. The book of Proverbs is a great book. All my life, I read a chapter every day. There's 31 of those bad boys. Every day of the month, I'm going to read a chapter in the book of Proverbs. And I've started on a whole new Bible translation. I started going to the Voice translation now, reading it from a whole different angle. And I tell you what, Proverbs chapter 3 and the Voice just blew my mind on a couple points. Just an amazing thing. You know, if you want to operate in wisdom in your life when storms come, what do you need to do? Well, you need to renew your mind to the Word. The Word is what will keep you on the mountaintop and not underneath the mountain. Amen. I think I told this in church, I don't know. I went up to Mark Johnson. He's a good pastor friend of mine here in Bartlett. And we were talking, and his dad comes in. His dad pastored their church for a long time, and he's a really sweet man. And he came up and grabbed my hand and said, how are you, son? And I said, I'm doing good. How are you doing? He goes, well, it's good to be seen and not viewed. And I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, I got to write that down. That's good. Good to be seen and not viewed. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, people are not your problem. People are a purpose in your life. What your problem is you're not keeping your mind focused and renewed on His Word. Because His Word will help you maintain stability. His Word will always keep that extra can of spinach in your cupboard ready to pop it open when you need it. Amen. It's always there for you. His Word helps you maintain stability. And folks, stability, my friends, keeps you focused and moving forward. You have to practice being patient. You have to practice being patient. You know, if you're impatient, it'll make you choose something lesser. If you're impatient, you get frustrated real easy, you'll make the wrong choice and the wrong decision when the storm's there. But you can't do that. You have to stop and renew your mind, because you really do have on the inside of you what it takes to get through anything. To get through anything. You know, a positive attitude gives you power over your circumstances and storms, instead of your circumstances or storms having the power over you. Amen. Your positive, faith-filled attitude will give you power over your circumstances and storms, instead of your circumstances or storms having power over you. Amen. Well, let's start winding this down today. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And, you know, this is another thing you ought to write down. Whatever captivates you will secure you or keep you unstable. Whatever captivates you will secure you or keep you unstable. What's the Bible say here? Isaiah 26:3 says, perfect and absolute peace surrounds those whose what? Imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust in you. Walt Disney had a thing about his Imagineers, is what he called them. When they made Snow White, he had his artists go and watch animals at the zoo. They brought animals into the studio, and they would sit there and sketch actions and all the momentums that these animals had. One guy was tasked just to watch how birds whistle and sing. He watched all different kinds of birds doing that. And you have the most classic scene when Snow White is talking to those birds on her finger and at the well, all the different things that are happening. And it's something when you watch it, it's like, ooh, there's a peace about it. There's something that's powerful there. They literally captured the lifestyle of those animals in such a wonderful way. You know, whatever captivates you will keep you secure or keep you unstable. But when your focus is absolutely centered on God, He surrounds you. He surrounds you because you are confidently letting your thoughts and your imaginations be consumed by Him. How many of you have ever had things consume you in a bad way? Here's one, and I'm sure I'll get a lot of amens on this. How many of you have ever felt overwhelmed in life? Come on. Well, I got to ask you, love you. We'll have to start singing Just As I Am. But I got to ask you, if you're feeling overwhelmed, where's your mind at during that time? Huh? What's captivated your thought life? You're not supposed to worry. In fact, you have literally nothing to worry about because He's your provider and your source. Amen. And I know it's easier to say sometimes than to live it, but I got to stop you with that one. That's an excuse and a crutch. Because I'm telling you right now, you're not renewed in your mind of the things you need to renew it to. And you need to renew your mind to His Word. See, perfect, absolute peace surrounds you because your imagination is consumed with the very presence of God. You confidently trust in the Master. Remember, He's the one that calmed the wind and the waves. I like the song that Phil used to do on the road, Awake, My Captain. Hear the creaking of the rigging in the wind. It's thin. Boy, there's something powerful when you go back and you read the story of when Jesus shushed the storm. Read it in different translations and think about the moment. You know, the worst rainstorm Friday when I was driving back from Knoxville. It was so bad, couldn't see. Slowed down to 5-10 miles an hour on the interstate. Could barely see the car in front of me. But you know what? There was a steady calm and peace because I've done this before. And I know Jesus is right there with me. Even if the semis were buzzing right by, peace was right there. Folks, listen to me. As a Christian, we don't panic. Because if the story isn't good, guess what? Say it.
The story
is. Say the whole thing. If the story isn't
good.
What?
The story is.
Amen. Say it again. Tim sat there and just told Sally, James is just wanting to drink that coffee one more time. Amen. But it's right, that's the truth. As Christians, you shouldn't panic. Amen. You should not panic. Again, when everybody else is losing their mind, what should you be doing? Renewing my mind to the Word. A couple more verses real quick here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. This is from the Message Bible. Look at this. This is a confession and a half you ought to speak every day. Don't let it faze you. Stick with what you've learned and believed. Well, that's a confession I can make. Thank you, Lord, I ain't letting anything faze me. I'm sticking to what I believe, what I've learned, what I know, because I believe and know the Word. Jesus is Lord, I have peace. Lord, you're my financier. I'm not letting anything faze me. Because I am all right because you make me all right. Amen. See, we all experience times of trouble. But see, the right mental attitude when it comes to facing those trials changes everything. Changes the picture. I mean, just because you think things are bad, that doesn't mean the story's over, does it? I'm not going to let it faze me. I'm going to stick with what I know. Amen. Amen. How should we think when trouble comes to our lives? Well, I'm glad you asked this morning. When trouble comes to you, you ought to pick up your Bible and you ought to read this right here, Isaiah 54, verses 14 and verse 17. And this is a great confession too. This is a great thing to renew your mind to. This is where you read it and it says, "In righteousness you shall be established." That's a confession there. "In righteousness I am established." Woo! "You shall be far from oppression." I am far from oppression. "For you shall not fear." I do not fear. I'm not bound by fear. And the next part says, "And I do not bow to terror." Why? Because it doesn't come near me. Whew! It doesn't come near me. Verse 17. What's that say? "No weapon formed against you shall" what? "Prosper. And every tongue which riseth against you in judgment, you shall condemn." This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. "And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." That's God speaking directly to you right now. Amen. I'm established in righteousness. I got it going on. I'm far from fear and oppression. I don't even have fear. I'm free from any kind of terror or pestilence. According to Psalm 91, amen. "No weapon formed against me will ever prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment," God, you're going to take care of that. Somebody speaking bad about me, you got it. You got my back. You got my six. I'm all covered. Amen. "You condemn those things for me." And this is a promise that I have. It is the heritage of the servant of God. And Lord, I am your servant. And Lord, you watch over me and protect me. My family, my kids, all my daughters-in-laws, you protect us. You watch over us. Amen. You say that stuff over and over and over. That's renewing your mind. Amen. You say it and you say it and you say it and you say it. Amen. Well, another one to think about, and this one is Psalm 27. And you ought to read the whole entire psalm. It's not that long. Okay, in fact, it's in your handout. To read the whole passage this week. But Psalm 27 in verse 1, and again, you say it, and you say it, and you say it. But the first verse says, the Lord is my light and my what? Huh? Salvation there means complete deliverance. Wow. Maybe I ought to read it that way. Thank you, Lord. You are my light and my complete deliverance. And boy, just pull your suspenders real tight. Whom shall I fear? Amen. Whom shall I fear? And it goes on. It says, the Lord is the strength of my what? Life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Folks, you and I have to begin to act upon the Word. The rest of it's up to God. Your job is to renew your mind to the Word, speak the Word, act on the Word. You know, and let me bring you some peace to your mind here this morning. You're not the one who is responsible for bringing the Word to pass. God is. Let me say that again. You are not responsible for bringing the Word to pass. God is. Did you ever stop and think about a lightning bug or a firefly? They naturally just light up. It depends on the atmosphere, the conditions. But you know, that firefly is not sitting there going, ooh, I got to light up, got to light up. Some of you need to try that in the morning. I need to be happy, need to be happy, need to be happy. Listen, you're not responsible for bringing the Word to pass. You're responsible to speak it and believe it. God brings it all to pass. Amen. He watches, according to Scripture, He watches over His to what? Perform it. Amen. He watches over His Word to perform it. Amen. How do you do this, Pastor? Well, you start out by praising Him for your deliverance, like the song we sang at the end. And you have to do that. Sometimes you have to offer a sacrifice of joy because you ain't feeling too pretty. Y'all pray for me this morning. I'm not feeling too good right now. Huh? So you're responsible. Amen. You're responsible. See, what you say matters. How you act matters. How you respond matters. Amen. Hallelujah. You ought to thank Him that He's made a way of escape for you. Amen. You don't praise God for the trial. I'll say that again. You don't sit around and praise God for the trial. You sit and praise God for His deliverance. You sit and praise God for the power of His Word coming to pass in your life. You praise God for the name of Jesus. You praise God that you're a winner. Everybody say, I'm a winner. And you praise God because He hears you and He answers your prayers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, stand up on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll stop here. We'll pick up here next Sunday. But you know, as you begin praising God, even as a sacrifice, you're going to end up praising Him because joy has come in its fullness. You're going to end up being happy and glad all the time because your focus is on His Word. God, you know, I'm the believer. God's the performer. I'm the believer. God's the performer. Amen. As you begin to just praise Him, magnify Him, I tell you, joy comes in its fullness. Remember, as a believer, folks, you don't panic. You pray. You renew your mind. If the story isn't good, then the what? Say it with me again. If my story isn't good, my story isn't over. Say it again. If my story isn't good, my story isn't over. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank You right now. We thank You for Your Word today. Lord, I just pray for our church family. Lord, we all deal with stuff. But thank You, Lord, stuff don't get us. We lord over the stuff because You gave us power through the Word. You gave us the power to speak the Word. You gave us power to speak to the mountain, to the circumstance. Whether it's sickness or disease, whether it's situations, whatever, Lord, You gave us the power. You gave us the power to make change, to be a history maker. And Lord, we just thank You for that right now. We thank You, Lord, that even when things might look bad, Thank you, Lord, our story is not over. Amen. Lord, when the world's going crazy, Lord, we just renew our minds to your word because we serve a good and awesome and mighty God. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Lord, as I pray right here for our church family, we just thank you, Lord. Whatever situation there is that's going on, we speak to that situation right now. We command it to go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the people of this church operate in your peace. Your peace. That your peace is the umpire of their baseball field. You keep every play in check. You keep everything moving forward. And you keep everything going all the way around, batting home run after home run, scoring score after score, because we're winners and not losers. Lord, we just thank you for that right now. Somebody in here, you're believing for some money. I tell you what, you need to know God's your source. Quit looking at the circumstance and look unto him. You do what his word says, but as you do what his word says, you begin to thank him that he multiplies what you have been doing for your benefit. Amen. Amen. I believe that what you have need of, it's there. You just wait and watch because God's doing things you haven't seen yet. Amen. If you're dealing with something in your body this morning, Jesus is your healer. He's your deliverer. Amen. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. Whatever it is right now, begin to thank him that you are the healed and the whole. Whatever's been going on in your body, speak to it. Body, you have to line up with the word. The word says, I'm healed and whole. Whatever the doctor may have said, I come against that right now in Jesus' name. Talk to it. Amen. Speak your faith. Thank him that you're the healed and the whole. Amen. So whatever it is, folks, you got the keys to change things, to change history on your behalf. Your story's not over. Your story's not over. In fact, the greatest days of your life are just in front of you. Amen. Lord, right now we speak a blessing over this body. We thank you, Lord, these folks are blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed in everything that they set their hands to. And we believe you for these things in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you're watching online, whether or not, wherever you are, I tell you what, if you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is a good opportunity to do that. And it's so easy to do. All you have to do is ask him into your heart. In fact, we'll pray with you right now. And if you're here in the church right now, or if you're watching online, let's all pray together. And if that's you, just speak these words right now. Say it with me, church family. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that you sent your only Son to die for me. He shed his blood. He was raised from the dead. Father, forgive me of all of my sins. Sin, I renounce you. I turn my back on you. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you. And I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer, just send us an email. We'd love to send you a Bible and some good books on who you are in Christ and what the new birth means. But praise God. Did you enjoy this today? Hey, next week we want to give you some more things. I really want to share with you about positive expectations and negative expectations and how they affect you. So don't miss next Sunday. It'll be really good. You need to hear it, okay? Amen. Hey, we love you. If we can pray with you about anything, come up. We'll be glad to pray with you. Don't forget, Mama Mia, Wednesday pizza night. We'll have a good time. Matthew's going to do a travelogue, and it'll be fun. He saw some really neat things, that stuff I've wanted to always see. And just some great stuff. Come and be a part of that. If you can come to Monday night Bible study, come out and join us on Monday nights. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. You are dismissed.